Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow
is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 111 of If Lance Could Kill. Right?
Unbelievable.
I know. Yep, just like three numbers in a row.
We are like so behind schedule still.
That is crazy.
If it's been Knife City, it's been more than 3 years, so we should be at, you know, 156 or something thereabouts.
We should even
more than that. But
we lost about 30 episodes and
okay.
We skipped.
We took naps through 30 scheduled times to be together.
Yep. And that's how we roll. That's why we don't want your Patreon money. Because we do what the fuck we want.
Well, remember, it's bad to ask for money because then, like, we have to do stuff. Like, we're obligated.
Yeah.
And if it's all free, there's no obligation and everybody can just complain all they want and then too fucking bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's your podcast? Can I listen to your content?
Exactly. So, speaking of your podcast, how has your week been?
My week?
Yeah.
I don't even have, like, anything to talk about at all, basically.
Oh,
I didn't.
The garbage man has garbage. No.
Super double garbage.
He brought no MTG content. He brought no intro content. Garbage man yourself time.
Yeah, I have, like, nothing going on. I mean, I don't even fucking have a clue. I've been doing nothing. I've been playing Forza, that Hot Wheels thing I was talking about. That's pretty much it when I have spare time. And I've been watching Saffron Olive every video he puts out. And, like, he does that replay of his stream, so it's like a 3-hour video.
Right.
So if I'm just, like, macking down on some fucking din-dins, then I'll...
Din-dins.
I'll go into that shit. And it's nice to, like, fast forward through, like, the really bad matches and shit like that instead of just, like... Streams are kind of hard sometimes when you watch, like, a full league, you know? You got to be there for a long time and then... Sometimes games are bad, and sometimes it's just like you're just passing turns and watching some control shit, and it's like, it's been like 20 minutes and I haven't done anything that's happened yet, so. Yeah, I mean, this fucking last weekend, I don't know, someone's got to come back to me, man. I got to fucking think about it, so. I don't know, isn't this weird? I have like, this is like the first week, I think, in 110 episodes that I don't have a fucking thing to talk about.
Well, Reich's back, apparently. So I'll go ahead and take it away. I haven't been doing much. No, I'm just joking.
take it away.
Really got nothing to talk about. Just been playing a lot of Titanfall 2. Like I was telling Hot Sauce, like every night I get home from work, I just come home and play that for like, you know, 45 minutes. And then so I'm just like slowly climbing up the ranks of all the guns.
Okay,
and all that
here's
stuff.
Something. Destiny 2.
Destiny 2.
So Destiny 2 is coming out, I think, in, what, August? Is that correct? Do you guys know? I think it's August. Anyways, they had a 30-minute gameplay reveal.
Okay.
So they showed, like, 30 minutes of just continuous gameplay, you know? And looks good. Everything looks cool, you know? A lot of updates, of course. But one of the big things is that they have matchmaking for raids now.
Right.
Which is pretty fucking big deal.
Oh, my God. I can play the raids now.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Now, fuck. So before you get going into that real quick, You brought up Destiny. Like, I know the gameplay trailer came out. I know all about that. I saw the new classes a little bit. Those look interesting. I saw a little video on them. I didn't actually watch the gameplay video because, I don't know, I guess I'm just like keeping like a 1 foot back from like the disappointment of games we've had over the last year. Destiny being one of them after a certain point.
Man, Destiny was so good, though, for like four months,
I loved
whatever.
It.
Woo,
it
was good.
It's called the new trilogy affliction, where you are really excited, and then you just feel like you got touched funny by your uncle.
Okay.
Just like the new
that
Star Wars
way, that applies to way more shit than games, I feel like.
You know, it does. You're just super excited, and then you're like, wow, I really wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
So like food.
Yeah,
like just eating a lot of food. And then it's like, I feel like regret, and then I'm like, oh my God, did I get touched by my uncle when I was three? Oh my God.
And then you just you're just like blaming yourself the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I was the one who ordered the burrito. Oh.
Yeah. And then like dessert's still on its way and you're like, I can't cancel it. Oh man. I ordered two cheesecakes for some reason. I could have just got one. Oh no. My life's a fucking mess.
So there was like a 5-minute little at least the video I watched was a 5-minute kind of recap of all the stuff that had come out about Destiny 2. And yeah, so they're coming out with guilds. Which is awesome. That's what you need.
You mean like motherfucking Ilk Guild? What up,
oh,
son?
Oh,
everyone hop
hey,
on.
Hey, followers, join it.
So, I mean, that's what you need if you're going to have a game with raids in it. And also, they have a matchmaking system. But also, they have, like, within the guild, let's say, what are they, six-man raids?
typically, again, I didn't really play the raids because it was not in my purview.
So the top end raids were six man. So let's say in your guild you have five members on at that time. They all want to go. Well, fuck, we need one more. There's a matchmaking system for that where you can just find one random dude and throw him in your guild raid. Not to become a part of the guild, but just to fill the empty spot.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot easier for people to, like in your situation, where you're not like, because you had to be like dedicated. You had to get to know people. You really had to get the
put
shit
time
together.
And effort into it. Before even like going to a raid, especially if it was one of the difficult ones, you had to like research like the puzzles before even getting into it if you really wanted to get into it. Or have enough time to do it over and over and over again.
Right.
At that time, I played my son was, 3 years old, 2.5, and really getting into whatever. So I didn't have the time to just sit there and try to do all that.
Right.
I played the game for hours and hours, but I could pause it when I needed to go help my son. So I didn't have time for the raids. I wanted to do them. I wanted all the gear, all the good shit I got out of raids. Just couldn't do it.
Yep.
I would go into raids. There's one of them that you can go into, and it was the one where once you cross like a certain line, it's really dark room, whatever.
Yeah.
And then all the little fucking minions would run after you. I don't remember what their names are, but they'd all run after you, and they'd kill you like instantly.
Are we talking about the flood again?
Yeah, it's basically the flood. And nobody likes that level. So like there's strategy in like having the the hunter and the titan and whatever else.
Right.
So one person would like sneak past it, do some fucking switch or whatever, and then people can like then follow suit or whatever.
Right.
But anyways, when you go into it, there is a chest that's within running distance. You can run to the chest, and that's it. And then you will die like within 5 seconds of reaching it.
Right.
But if you just keep going to that chest, then there will be loot in there, one out of 20 times or 30 times, whatever. So we would just, you only do it once a week as well. So like, every Monday it'd fucking reset. And then me and the roommate that I had, Raheem, we'd fucking go and we'd all just take turns fucking going to that chest and then getting some mythical fucking rocket launcher or whatever the shit that was there. And that was all we would do for the raids. I've never beat a raid. So
yeah. No,
that's a lie. I have beat the easiest raid.
Are you talking about the 3-man?
No, it's a 6-man.
Okay.
But it was, I can't really think of what it was. I mean, it was like something where there's like a portal. You have to go through the portal and then come back in the portal. And it's like 2-man are on a platform, 2-man go in the portal, 2-man do this whole thing. It's like this, yeah. And 6-man, it's pretty much 6-man, otherwise you're going to fucking die. You can do it with 5, but anything less, you're going
to
die.
I never had a chance to do the 6-man raid just because I had lost a boner for that game by the time I was able to like start getting into those.
Dude, I had to go
raids
to the forums and like find people.
Yeah.
And then friend them and then be like, hey, talk to them. Hey, do you have the time? What class are you? We had this whole thing. I had like an hour and a half before we even started it, getting everyone together. And it worked out. But I mean, it took a while.
Yeah. And so the whole guild thing is going to expedite that process. I mean, there's still going to be like, if you've ever been in any sort of guild with raids and any sort of game, it's always like, hey, 4 o'clock, Pacific time, we're going to be meeting at the Magical Stone, and then we're all going to be going in, and
this isn't WoW, bro.
We need 3 hunters and 2 titans and, whatever, 1 warlock, and, the warlock is on crowd control, and it's like this very, nerdy organized thing where, the raid.
That your parents just don't understand.
Yeah, they never like, do. Are you meeting strangers on the internet?
Yeah. Have you done your homework yet? It's like, I'll do it in 2.5 hours, Mom.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Destiny 2. It's going to be fun. And I'm gonna wear my heart on my sleeve and become vulnerable and learn to love again. And hopefully I don't get gonorrhea like last time.
I'll bring you the lube just in case.
By the way, isn't that curable? Isn't gonorrhea like no big deal?
I mean,
isn't gonorrhea like fucking
is no big
shot,
deal? Is any STI, STD... no big deal. I mean, I get like there's ones you just take fucking penicillin, take a shot, and it goes away. But no matter what, your dick's on fire. It's a little scary.
Yeah. Anakin,
Anakin?
You have it go. Well, speaking of STIs, Anakin falls right in that annoying, shouldn't be there sort of category. And it burns to watch him act. But anyways, I have way too much knowledge about STD, so.
Yep.
So, yeah, the rest of my week, pretty good. My band played our first show in 5 years on Saturday, so that was super exciting. We had lost our drummer, and, kind of life got in the way, and we just stopped practicing.
It was a bee stung him, and then there was no EpiPen.
Yeah, a bee stung him. And,
you never told me that the same story.
He had to die.
That's why it was really funny. We're like, whoa, lightning struck twice, that's crazy.
So,
blue moon.
We had... the cast come out to support, and we had a couple listeners, Mr. Corey Neese.
No, don't say that. He's more like the stalker.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Serial killer, stalker. Yeah.
Cold-blooded stalker Corey.
Cold-blooded, fucking, lots of cats.
He's not allowed at our houses. We're a little worried about him.
Yeah, he was.
He somehow has dick pics of hot sauce, and those are on the internet. Just Knife's dick pics are there, so we don't know how he got them, so it's a little scary.
It was weird, because he was across the street with binoculars, and we could clearly see him. We're like, hey, just come over here and talk to us, and he's just like...
I've been found out.
Shrunk down behind the bushes, and like, I don't know how to interact, I just know how to stalk, so that was weird. And then we had another listener...
A gay robot.
Cyborg, the gay robot.
Cyborg 619 is his Twitter handle, I believe.
Vigilant hander. Vigilance hander.
I believe that is his Twitch name as well, because he's a streamer, streams magic contents.
619?
And But he's a gay robot, and that's that.
It's cool, though. It was nice meeting him. I mean... We didn't know the guy until that night, and I ended up talking to him for a little bit. You guys ended up leaving after the show and everything, and I had a couple more drinks, and he hung out for another like hour after you guys left, and it was good. We talked magic for a bit. Good guy.
It was a sweet show. You guys played a fucking awesome set. We got to do fucking 4 minutes of moshing,
yeah.
And I wore flip-flops, and I was bleeding out of my toe within like 5 seconds.
I'm pretty sure I stepped on your foot on purpose, by the way.
Probably.
I'm like, you're behind me, quick step backwards.
Yeah, it was...
I knew you weren't in the pit anymore.
I knew when I was driving over there, I came from like a poolside barbecue, and I'm driving over there like, oh, why am I going to a show in flip-flops? It's a really fucking bad decision. And I didn't go home, you know, I didn't want to go home, so I was like, all right, well, whatever. And then I wasn't planning on going to the pit. I'm like, well, I'm just going to the pit, and then... Obviously, you're gonna play a Fear cover.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that kind of has to happen. And then you had a chick singer come out to, like, guest for three songs.
Yeah,
and we're
for
like,
three covers.
So you're gonna have me
well,
go on.
Here we go.
And the most important part of the night was...
Oh, man.
Right before we started the last three songs, the last three covers, my bass player's bass went out. Like, he didn't know what happened. So we had, like, the sound guy come up and, like, try and figure out what was going on. And, you know, you can't have too much silence during a show. It kind of kills the vibe. So I said, no silence is going to kill the vibe. I'm going to kill the vibe. Because God spoke to me and he said, you need to go up to that microphone and you need to tell the big orange head joke. So
it was fantastic. It was a great, great, like, you stepping in, taking over the moment like you said. It was like,
by the way,
this couldn't have gone any better. It was amazing.
On Twitter right now.
Yes.
Albeit, I couldn't really, like, prolong it like I wanted to.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the ending was a little short on, like, you usually elaborate, like, the, I have a big orange head. And it was more like, and the third wish was a big orange head.
but it was still
great.
I just really enjoyed it because as soon as I was done, I just turned and walked back to my side of the stage and just... It was great. Just the moans and groans of disappointment throughout the crowd was amazing.
One of my favorite parts about it was actually the next day when I rewatched the video. So I watched the video from the dude who was like right behind us who recorded. No, actually, Hot Sauce recorded, right?
The one that's on Twitter that we posted? Yeah, that's mine.
So he recorded that. So I was right next to Hot Sauce at that point. So I could, you know, it's in a concert room. Obviously, music's not going, but it's other people talking. It's all their noise. And I'm, you know... Intuitively, you know, straight up and listening to you, like tunnel vision listening to you and the jokes. I'm excited. I'm screaming in the middle of it, like, yeah, do it! Yeah, I'm so pumped. And like, so that was already hilarious. So I watched that video and I saw somebody else's page on, I think it was on Facebook, post their version of the video. It was like the other side of the room.
Right.
And you tell them, it was so good because you tell the joke. And after the joke, I'm screaming, yeah, laughing, real laughing. You hear, like, the guys over here laughing. And then the other video I saw, it was, like, came by some girls. And all I hear is, I don't get it.
And they're like,
so much better.
And then you're like, you can come home with me.
Like, I had to watch, like, three more times. Like, I don't get it. And, like, two other girls, I don't get it either.
a lot of that show.
Yeah.
Well, pretty
I was
nice.
Very
a lot
pleasantly
of
surprised with that. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, we played with some other really cool bands from San Diego. Scatterbombs, Savende, Mando Shanks, and some other band. Society's Victim, I don't know. They were pretty hardcore.
Was the first band that was
More
couldn't really hear it was a lot more vicious sounding a lot more
it was very reminiscent of like when
you were 16 and playing punk.
Well, it was like when 80s punk evolved into like 90s hardcore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's where every song kind of sounds the same sort of thing going on.
It's like the double kicking songs, not the double kick. You know, it's just, like they have great energy. They put it on a fun show. They did a good job. It's not that, but if you don't know their music, like I didn't know their songs. I didn't know they were. So it became more of a, now I'm watching for the spectacle of these fucking younger guys running around the stage having a good time more than I'm actually enjoying the music right now.
Yeah, and then you know all the bands were really good, so yeah, that was really cool. Hopefully, we're gonna be recording at least a fucking EP here pretty soon. So get some.
It was a fun show, man. I'm really happy that we got to go to it, and it was a good time.
Yeah,
it was very fun.
And I mean,
okay, go ahead. You go ahead and tell that. Okay, this is like my favorite comedy night.
I was just gonna say that after the show, I went out to the car to smoke a cigarette, and everyone kind of came over, and we were talking. And Crow looks at me, and he goes,
"Genuinely, by the way,
yeah, genuinely." He's like, "You know, I knew you were in a band, but I didn't know you guys were any good." And
I thought you guys were actually good. Like, you've caught me off guard.
And then I told him, I was like, "You know what? I don't trust your opinion on a lot of things, but when it comes to punk music, that means a lot coming from you. You know, I don't value other people. You know, other people are like, oh, you guys were good. And I'm like, whatever, you listen to Garth Brooks. I don't give a fuck, you know? So I was like, thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, not like I was going in there thinking you guys are going to suck dick. Like, I didn't know. I mean, it's a friend's band. Like, it can be easily hit or miss. I really enjoyed your guys' show.
You're like a couple more percent closer to sucking his dick now. You're like, okay.
I would easily
You're inching there. You're like, you know what? Bring in another fucking 2 feet.
I love when you said that. I was like, on this one thing, I don't trust your opinion. I'm like, I get your point. Like, I get it. We have good magic conversations. We have good punk conversations. That's about it. And, it, good. That's fine.
It was good, so.
I will say this. I do enjoy when you sing more than the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy kind of...
I feel like he's kind of up there on stage, like, just having a good time being up there, but more yelling, like, fuck you and suck my dick, and you're actually singing a song. Like, he's more for, like... I feel like he's a little bit more on, like, the shock value of certain things. I enjoy it much more when you were singing and whatnot going on.
A little bit. Our lyric writing is very different style. I like to, follow a theme and have... I really enjoy lyrics and lyricists.
That's my biggest thing in music.
Even in like rap or hip hop, like I like that genre. But if you're not, if you don't have like good, smart, cohesive lyrics, then you're just fucking garbage. You know what I mean?
Basically that.
Yeah. So
that's like the only genre that I really care about. The lyrics is going to be hip hop, rap. Like that's everything else. I'm sort of more interested in hearing the instruments.
Right.
And just, I guess, like, the flow and the kind of, like, timing of thing. I don't know, whatever else, that the structure of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, like...
Is that mostly just because hip-hop doesn't actually typically use instruments as just samples?
For sure.
And that's the only reason you would go there from that.
But some people don't. Some people are just still down for the beat. They just want to, like, they're just jamming out in their head, you know, like, I want to fucking listen to this shit. But, like, when I listened to Talib Kweli when we did back in the day and... Mos Def all that shit.
Gangstar.
All that shit. There's like purpose in those lyrics.
Yeah.
And they have like a message.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I mean, they have a sick beat and all that shit too, but that pushes it past the limit of like, because I don't really listen to rap or hip hop, but those guys, I was like, man, this shit's pretty dank, dude.
Yeah. Dank. Bomb diggies. So yeah, it was a good time. Hopefully we'll play another show here coming up in the next couple months.
Write some more songs. Next show, I'm going to hear more of your songs, because, like I said, I enjoy your shit way more, personally.
I got some in the bank, but we enjoy doing, like, covers also. Like, we cover Little Prince.
I don't know what that is, but yeah.
No, it's like in the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I was going to go for.
No, it's Little Sweet.
I like those commercials. Those are great. I like him when he's like, what do you say?
He could be a good rancher. He's like, along this?
Backward slide
or whatever. He fucking, whoop. I'm like, yeah. It's like, you know, when like Mountain Dew and those kind of those companies, like they try to make the weird, funny shit. And I'm like, Dr. Pepper.
Like the Burger King's little hands. Like, you know, that shit was pretty fucking creepy.
That was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
But I got a proposal for something, though. You should take up bass. You should learn some bass.
Yep.
So we got the three piece right here.
Hey, yeah, you play drums, boom. And you don't even need, you can just Sid Vicious that shit, you know? Okay, what I mean?
I'm down for that then.
We'll just unplug.
I'm
going to
sing with you a little bit though.
But that'd be good. We can do, so we can have a little band and we have a garage to practice.
There we go. We got our band name too. If Lads Could Kill.
Yeah. If Lads Could Kill.
People song are like, what? I don't get it.
It's like, you're not supposed to get it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And that's about it. We're going to keep the intros a little short this week. So what's up, Crow?
Like you said, we didn't have 2 weeks off, bro. I didn't have like so much time to do all kinds of shit. I did a couple things. What I was going to talk about, obviously, the show, because I had a lot of fun there. It was a good night. The other thing is, Knife was gracious enough to allow me to, because I don't have a whole, I have a couple decks here and there, like a couple, like, you know, cheaper modern decks on MTGO and things like that, but I don't have a whole lot of money invested in MTGO, and I don't really have much money to put into it right now anyways. But he was gracious enough to let me use his account to, you know, play the zombie deck that we were going to talk about for a standard one. That was really excited Grixis about.
The zombie discard.
Like the discard and reanimator fucking deck, basically.
And whatever point in the week we're talking, and you're like, oh yeah, you should go play it. I'm like, yeah, I wasn't going to tell you, but I have been playing it, and fuck me, it's amazing. I wanted to save it for the cast. That shit's a lot of fun, man. Like, I don't know if you put a deck list out yet, but you need to, because are there any listeners that are into me and your kind of a gameplay of a recursion and a Dimir or Grixis style, or even a, you know, Esper type of shit? Like, this is one of the most fun recursion decks I've ever played.
Yeah,
and
I think
it's very streamlined. The entire thing is planned around itself. The only hiccups it really has is if you can't really get the draw spells, and that being like Tormented Voice and the Cathartic Reunion, where you're getting the discard as well. If you don't get those, you can kind of stumble out. And it's also very helpful when you get the Fear of Visions. If you don't get Fear of Visions, it also becomes a little more difficult. I mean, you can still do it, but it's very helpful, because then your hand continues to refill, so you can continue to discard.
Right.
And so there's always, obviously, every deck has little hiccups. But in general, that deck running on full gas, like, oh, God, it was bad. I beat Marvel with it. I beat fucking Mono Black Zombies with it. I beat the fucking new perspectives combo with it. Like I dude, deck was raking. what did I play against? There were a couple ones where I went down like real quick, like aggro decks, where I went down to like two life, and they're like, "I'm gonna have to get you." I'm like, "No, but wait, there's more."
Yep.
Drop the fucking enchantment, the fucking one black and two.
Faith to the Devoted.
Drop that. Oh, I'm at eight health, and now I have 8 creatures on the field from all my fucking, you know, deals coming back, and this and that. It was, dude, it's a lot of fun to play.
That enchantment's bomb.
I put out a list, and then I have made some changes to the sideboard just because of the meta is so heavily skewed towards Marvel. So
you need some artifact hate. That's a big thing.
Yeah, I need some, because I have the preemptive stuff. I have 3 dispossesses in the sideboard. I have 3 negates in the sideboard. 1 in the main. And then, I forget. I think that's the only, like, hate I have in the sideboard. But I was going to save this for later, but I'll just go over right now. I played a standard league on MTGO.
Nice. How'd you do?
Fucking horrible.
Really?
0-5.
Okay. Oh.
0-5. No way. It was really bad.
I played against multiple tier 1 decks and, like, for the most part, won most of the matches with that deck.
Oh, yeah. I've played against Marvel and, yeah, just destroyed him before, but this time just the answers didn't come when I needed them, and if you can't answer before they get Marvel out, then you're fucked. And if you don't have a negate, you're fucked.
That's the best thing about it is, like, you said, a lot of your sideboard, like, yeah, because there's Grixis in there, you can bring in more artifact hate and do things like that, but your sideboard is the dispossess and, like, the counter magic stuff, and so you can take out a ton of shit from the main and bring fucking 10 or 15 cards on the sideboard against Marvel, and as long as you fucking get a chance to get that negate up, or especially get that dispossessed before they get it on the field, oh man, like, yeah, that felt good to just go, ah, fuck you, or I have negate right now, and then later on I'll get the dispossessed and I'll get the rest of your fucking out of your library.
But dispossess isn't that non-artifact?
No, it's only artifact.
Oh, it's only artifact. Yeah. Okay. Then what's the other one that there? Lost Legacy, right?
Yes.
Okay,
and that's non-artifact.
Okay.
Non-creature?
Non-land.
I don't know. Non-land, non-artifact.
It's just non-creature, that's all. Gotcha. Non-land, yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, there's the tools in there to beat Marvel, but Marvel is just so oppressive that you have to draw the answers before they draw the Marvel.
It's another turn 4 combo deck that essentially is a fucking 6-sided die roll to get the Ulamog, but it's still, like, obviously not as fucking streamlined as like, you know, the Shaheely combo. But it still has that feeling of, if you don't have the answer by turn 4 and they happen to have their typical energy build up to turn 4 and they drop Marvel turn 4 and you don't have an answer to stop it from landing or whatever, you're probably going to lose that game. Like, there's not much you can do after that fact.
4 out of the 5 matches I played were against Marvel.
Mm.
And so there was a couple where I was able to, you know, like, win game 1, and then, like, there was a handful of games where turn 4, you know, I have 3 mana. They're on 4. They drop Marvel. They hit Ulamog. Exile 2 of my lands. Yeah. I have 1 land, and I'm like, okay, I concede. this is horrible.
Yeah.
There was multiple times where that happened. So, I mean, I don't think...
And that would happen against plenty of other decks that aren't even just your zombie deck. Like, that's just... It's Marvel hits, Marvel fucking hits.
Yeah.
If you don't have the main deck negate or that don't have that sideboard negate in your hand for that moment for when it's going to enter the field, it's... What are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
If they hit a little mog, there's nothing you can fucking do.
And it and there's... It's like, on game two, I just keep mulliganing until I hit an answer, because if I don't, then I'm just fucked. And there was a couple games that I ended up winning where they would get Marvel out on four, and then just whiff, whiff, whiff. And I was able to, you know, attrition them down two at a time, three, four, five at
they're
a time.
They're still getting value, though. And you know another thing that's good about those the Marvel deck is that they're playing that fucking Chandra Flamecaller, and that is another one of those hits. It's like, oh,
or what's
fuck,
or what's
dude.
Gross is they're like, Marvel, I hit Marvel, spin the new Marvel, fucking hit Ulamog, and you're like, oh, really? That's a thing. Okay, fucking fuck my ass.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
Isn't it funny how good Attune with Aether and the fucking Woodweaver's Puzzle Knot, or those are like super good cards.
Yeah.
Even though those cards are not good, in that deck, you're like, you see them cast like the Puzzle Knot.
Attune with Aether is a fine card. Like, the energy on that is a bonus point.
I'm just saying that, like, but it's a superstar now. Like, the foils of that card are like $5. Like, it is a superstar now.
Well, I get your point. I'm just saying, like...
And then the fucking...
The Puzzle Knot would be just complete garbage.
Right. That's my point. That's the whole conversation right here, right? But when they play Puzzle Knot, you're just like, oh, fuck. Like, they just, like, gained back some life, which, like, kind of took away my last attack. And now they, like, just got another spin, basically, because they can just sack it and get the whole six energy.
Yeah.
Even seven energy from a permanent leaving the battlefield. I'm like, oh, God, it's fucking gross, dude.
Yeah, that deck is gross. And it... I posted something on Twitter, like, something to the effect of, like, I didn't realize how shitty it was to play against Marvel in this standard environment until I played that league, because everyone's playing Marvel, like, four out of the five fucking matches, and then the other deck I played against was just, like, a red-green fucking energy creatures deck with no Marvel in it, but everyone's just playing the same fucking deck, and, like, how boring is that? Like, how, can you imagine just, like, Marvel versus Marvel matchups? Like, all you're basically doing is just grinding to win.
Not the comics, the artifact, right?
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
If you're playing Marvel and you go up against four out of five Marvel decks, like...
No, you're just flipping a coin, basically.
Yeah, how fun is that?
It's a coin flip deck,
you're just
dude,
playing
for sure.
To get play points or to win packs? Like, I mean, we all want to win, but I want to at least have fun and some strategic value if I'm going to play.
In a similar baseline, obviously, exactly the same, that's how I feel about EDH. Because of how much of a coin flip it is, if this guy gets his fucking mana rocks going and you get to get going, it, you know, then he's on the fucking roll. If not, if I'm sitting here with fucking four lands, I can't find more lands, and just turns into this whatever, it becomes this spin of the fucking of the deck kind of situation where it obviously is different, but I don't like that I'm not playing a deck that's strategically built. I'm playing a coin flip deck. I don't like that feeling, and that's what EDH feels like to me. That's why
I can see that to a lesser extent.
Yes, I agree. To a lesser extent, because you still build your deck, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But the 100 cards and being a singleton, it just has much more of a feel of, do I get a luck of the draw today, or my deck that I strategically built in a 60-card manner, I know what I'm trying to get, what I'm trying to do, and like I have less chance to just completely flop into nothingness than I do when I do Commander.
Yeah.
So that's why, for me, I have a tougher time playing Commander against you guys. It can be fun. I have some, you know, decks that I enjoy and this and that, but it's just that's why I can't stand when we play it like many weeks in a row.
Right.
Personally.
So yeah, I mean, other than that, I love that fucking deck. When it does get going, when you fucking hit Devoted on three, and then you have like two Tormenting Voices in hand or Cathartic Reunion, it's just like it's so.
Hey, dude, Cathartic
so
Reunion
nice.
Though. Is a dope card and really good in your deck, but dude, Cathartic Reunion, and then you get negated, it's like, oh, fuck.
It doesn't
like,
matter on the deck.
No, it does.
It
you
does,
want to refill
doesn't.
Your hand. That's stress drawing three cards.
I understand that, but it's not the end of the world because you're still getting to discard your shit.
Listen, I just disagree. I think that it's not the end of the world. That's horseshit,
point.
But it's still really
anything
bad.
Anything you cast that gets negated sucks. Dies of Doomblade sucks. But I'm just saying, of all things that it's still, you're still... gearing up half of your engine and that punch just still getting
yeah I get it man like I, it. Listen, we're on the same fucking coin here. It's just that like you still need two cards to discard to get shit back, and that's only for one creature, you know, maybe two, but like when I played against you and when I negated your shit, I was like, oh man, this fucking feels
it's,
so
it's,
good, you know.
I think for the discard zombie deck, there are times where that feels really bad because you need, like, you don't have stuff in the yard yet even to bring back. And then there's sometimes where you're just like totally fine with it. You're like, hey, at least I got shit in the graveyard and I got my triggers off, and next turn I'll be able to draw a card and I'll be able to do this all over again. So it's less feel bad than traditionally just negating something.
That's why I point to it. Yeah. Like, getting anything negated sucks. Like, I mean, that's part of the game though. From there, like, you made a comment about, you know, the devoted. I can't remember fucking the enchantment.
Faith.
Faith of devoted. You made a comment about dropping that on three. I felt like most games when I played it, even if I had it in my hand for turn three, I wouldn't play it then. I would want to get my engine rolling first and like get that into later on, going get the guys in the graveyard and get my guys in the field, and then have my blockers, have my things ready, get my light pressure now, and then get into either that devoted or maybe even discard that one and get into another one. I just felt like my personal games felt better to play that card a little bit later when I had more mana, than rather than depending on that to get the damage. It was better to get the creatures in the field personally.
Well, I mean, another thing I like about the deck is there's two kind of different ways to play it, as we're talking about, is that you can just go for the get as many shit in the graveyard as early as you can, and then like, yeah, turn four you can just fucking bring a guy back and have three prized amalgams come back, and they, you know,
yeah,
they just, they have one guy on the field, and you're like, it puts a lot of pressure on early. It can do that.
Yeah.
And then it can also downshift into more of a control matchup where you're just killing everything they have. You have the draw enchantment, whatever that one's called.
Fevered Visions.
Yeah, Fevered Visions out, and it's just pinging them, and it's, you know. So there's two different ways you can play it, and it really depends on what cards you draw in the deck.
Very true.
Because, I mean, sometimes you have a choice of what you're going to do, and sometimes you don't have a choice, and you just kind of have to go where the deck's going to take you.
Yeah.
But I do like that
I think both paths are very viable, by the way.
Yeah, and I totally love it when, like, a turn four, turn five, I have, like, fucking six creatures on the battlefield out of nowhere. Like, that's always fun.
Yeah.
So, if anybody's interested, you know, hit us up on Twitter. I'll repost the deck list and my sideboard changes to it.
The other thing I did is I played your Kefnet the Careful deck.
Kefnet the Careful.
I played it less than the Zombies, so I like the Zombies better, but the Kefnet one is definitely fun and build around, too. I forget, I'm going to talk to you more about it. I had some ideas for the deck. After playing it and sideboard stuff too.
Yeah.
Anyways,
super grindy as fuck.
And that was fun because it was grindy, but it didn't even feel that bad of grindiness.
Yeah.
It goes quick enough. Like, it doesn't feel, as long as you're playing against somebody else who knows how to fucking F6, like, it still goes through fine. But the first match I played though, I think what happened. I beat the guy game one kind of quickly, randomly somehow. I forget how it happened. But anyways, game two comes on and it's for the match, and we're playing. And, like, it's going back and forth, and I have this board state where I'm ahead, but then he's, like, coming back a little bit and this and that and going. But I'm playing real slow. Like, I know I've got plenty of time. At this point now, I've gained a bunch of life. I'm at, like, 26 life. I'm, like, he's got a couple things going on the board. I've now got down Kefnet with the fucking the vehicle. The caravan.
Caravan.
And so I'm, like, able to just do that, and then I attacked a bunch of twice and let him get in. And I'm doing this couple things, and he's, like, I had two of the flyers in the deck.
Oh, the one that draws you two cards?
Yeah, the Cloud Blazer. So I had two Cloud Blazers on the field, and he's like doing this. He's like, oh, yeah, and we're talking about stuff. I told him, yeah, it's not my deck. He's like, this is kind of cool. And it's not my deck. It's a buddy's deck. I'm just kind of playing right now. First time playing it, and blah, blah, blah. We're talking, and he's like, oh, you could have won that turn. I'm like, you're not wrong, but that's not the correct play, not in my mind. And so, like, I'm talking a little bit because I know he's got a Fumigate in hand. I'm waiting for him to use it, and in my fucking hand, I'm going to blank on it right now. It's been a week, but I had shit in my hand where, okay, I can win on the board if I attack in and he has nothing. But then even on the swing back, I'm not going to die. But the smart play is to go with the route that guarantees me the win no matter fucking what.
And that's how you play a control deck, is that you have to play around everything and you have to play it safe. Or at least in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
You only have to go for it when your hand doesn't do anything.
Right.
When you just know...
When you have no other
plan. Though your opponent sees you have five cards, you know that you can't do anything. It's like, I just got to cast this thing and it's probably going to get countered or killed. But like... I know my hand doesn't do shit. I can't just wait, because then I'm just going to die faster.
It's like fucking... Like, it's dangling the worm in front of you. Like, oh, you can make this power play. It's going to be awesome. And you have to go, no. I'm not going to fucking take that option, even though it would be rad and I'll smash him in the face. I have to just, like, hold up counter magic or, you know, keep this... Don't commit to the board too much in case they have X, Y, or Z, and that's kind of how that deck plays out also.
Yeah, so, you know, so they're going against a guy, and after having mostly a good conversation about the game, comes down to, like, it's the end there. I don't know if he thought I was slow playing him or whatever, but he's like, oh, good deck, you suck, though. And I'm like, whatever, bro, so I'm going to start getting tied to him, like, okay, you're... You see it that way. I see it as this is my guaranteed plan to win. I'm trying to tell you about, like, what's in my hand, what I'm about to do, because at that point he had no other thing he could have done.
Yeah.
And so, like, as I'm typing this, he quits the game. I'm like, yeah, whatever, salty loser. Jesus, dude, it was fun though. It was good. It was a good time.
The control decks I make get people salty,
and it was great. He wasn't like super pissed, but he's like, in the end, he's like, oh, you suck though. Like, okay. I kicked your ass,
yeah,
and I did it with a guaranteed fucking win, not the route that gave you a chance to come back. So
still
whatever,
got the W.
Whatever. But yeah, I really enjoyed playing your decks on there. It was a good time.
Right on. Yeah, you know, next time you log on the account, check out my the partner's EDH deck. If you love getting people salty, that okay, will fucking do the trick.
That'll be like the first time I ever play Commander on MTGO. I'll try it, though. If you're telling me it's going to make people salty, okay, I'll try it.
Have you guys been hearing more about the two-player... Commander, about like the
1v1?
Yeah, the 1v1, like the fucking meta of all that kind of shit, yes, and what's going on.
I mean,
Strip mine. It was a strip mine format. And that has now been banned, by the way. We'll get to that, but it's no longer the format, the meta game it was.
Strip mine.
Life from the Loam.
Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time.
Oh, I'm saying that. Oh, sorry, my bad. Yeah. I thought you were talking about like the combo is like Life from the Loam, and that is like a fucking... total lock. You just keep like playing that and dredging that, and then you just every turn fucking go crazy, and then you just win.
Yeah,
which is fucked up. So, or whatever.
I care so little about that I give it no attention, other than the fact that I'm waiting for them to fix it to where it goes back.
Yeah.
And along those lines, I saw the update or whatever. Hey, we banned these cards, and it's like, hey, fuckers, if you have the time to be banning cards, maybe you have the time to go back to multiplayer rules, you know, like put a little divide stick between the two instead of just like, oh, you gotta wait until Hour of Devastation comes out to have, you know, multiplayer rules regular again. In case you don't know, the 1v1 ban list is now the multiplayer ban list until Hour of Devastation comes out. So if they have time to be changing fucking cards in and out, they have time to fucking change it back to normal. I was pretty pissed.
I bet you takes like 2 hours to do.
Yeah.
And they're just like, nah.
Yeah, nah, bruh.
Not the budget, dog.
Nah.
Nah. But my pay grade.
A couple of little quick things was, I'm a fan of M. Night Shyamalan. I know he's put out some real shit movies over the last couple of years. Like,
what? You
Lady in
like
the Water.
You didn't like The Village?
I did like The Village. I'm actually a fan of it. I'm on the opposite rope, so many of you guys. I liked it for different reasons. For reasons you guys hated it, I have different reasons for why I loved it.
I haven't seen it. I don't care.
So, we don't need to get into that. We don't need to get into that.
Anyways. Took your mom there.
Well, whatever. We don't need to get into that. Anyways, that's obviously Signs and fucking... I can't think of that shit right now. Unbreakable, I thought was good. And different things. Anyways, so Split just came out with James McAvoy. It came to Redbox. That's where he has a bunch of personalities, and there's a little bit of supernatural tick to it as well. The movie itself, I really enjoyed it. I think it's one of those movies where you guys or a lot of people won't look at it and go, eh, whatever, it was fine, it was okay. The ending was like okay, but kind of like not as eventful as I want it to be or whatever kind of thing. But I looked at it as based on a spoiler at the end that I don't want to talk about. Because in case you haven't seen it,
of course, the movies always have a spoiler, so like,
well,
you can't do that.
Well, besides the twist, it has an actual like mid-credits spoiler that's like, oh shit, bringing in a whole situation to it.
Gotcha.
I want to talk about because it's actually pretty cool. It kind of took me aback for a second when I saw it.
Yeah, he had to up it to where there's not only one twist. It's like credits are going. He's like, I got you again.
Yep. And then at the very end of the credits, like, this is all a dream.
This is all an autistic boy's dream.
And actually, the spoiler doesn't actually have anything really to do with the actual Split movie itself.
Okay.
Different situation there. I'm going to talk about it because it's pretty cool.
Stop
when you
talking
see
about
it.
It.
But from there, so I enjoyed it. My wife and I, you know, I liked it more than she did. It's more of a psychological thriller and a look into somebody's mind situation more than it is a, like, you know, gore fest or a super thriller. It's more of it, and I personally enjoy that. That's why I like watching different like crime shows where they get into talking about like more criminal mindsets and like psycho killers and things like that, where you explore the minds of people like that. And so I found it more interesting, and I found it interesting to look through this situation of someone with split personality, which is actually very rare Zora, most people like have new, or either fake it or have a different version of it. But for somebody to have multiple personalities is a very rare thing, actually. And so to see James McAvoy go, you know, do this acting job on it, I thought he did a very good job portraying the character.
I imagine he'd be the best part of it.
Yeah. Oh, that obviously, yeah. Most of the movie is about McAvoy himself and different things that are going on. But he did a really good job. I really enjoyed it. So, yeah. Anyways, I'd say check it out if you're into M. Night Shyamalan at all, or if you're into any kind of
I haven't really seen many of his movies. I've seen Bruce Willis movie. I've seen Signs. I haven't seen Unbreakable. I heard it's an excellent movie, so that's probably like something to watch.
Which one is the one with Samuel L. Jackson?
That's Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
That is a good movie. It's Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. Mr. Glass. Shyamalan? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah. I can't. Okay, I'm not going anymore. In the previews for that movie, they happen to show a preview for a movie called Mind Gamers. I'm sure it's a movie nobody's ever heard of.
Never heard of it.
I've seen it in the Redbox, but then I look at the description, and I'm like, that looks stupid, or the way it's described doesn't give it justice. I ended up seeing the preview for it before watching Split, and I was like, well, okay, if that's what that movie's about, I'm going to give it a shot. And for anybody who likes to explore the idea of multiple dimensions and being on a different... being infinite planes and different situations that happen, you know, that run at the same timeline as us, to have all kinds of it takes a big mind to fucking wrap your head around the different timelines and
Morty.
And planes. See, exactly, it's that kind of situation. So if that the movie itself had
infinite Ricks, infinite Mortys.
No. But if you like having your, you know, a thought process on that, the movie, it's kind of as you're going through it, it's kind of like what the fuck is happening right now a little bit. In a sense, like, you know what's happening overall, but like these couple of like things keep happening, or different versions of things happen.
Well, yeah, it's a movie that you have to just wait to find the answer out. You just have to accept that it doesn't make sense until finally an hour and 15 in, and they're like, okay,
yeah,
they're telling us what's going on, what the fuck I've been watching this whole time.
And I'm totally fine that story that's built up like that has a legitimate ending to it, and this did a very good job of it. The only like actor you're gonna know the name of it is the fucking dude from Jurassic Park, the original doctor with the fucking
Shaving cream can.
No, not fucking Newman.
Oh, okay.
The dude with the Velociraptor claw, whatever that actor is. The main fucking dude in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So he's like
the guy with that square head. Kind of has a square head.
Square head, yeah, it's his name.
Old square head.
Dr. Squarehead.
But I'd say it was worth the watch. I mean, honestly, Hot Sauce, I think you should probably check it out and just
give it a shot. I like that stuff. I think that stuff is, it's like... I don't have a good word for it. I don't want to say delicate, but I mean, it's just you can make it a really cool concept into a bad movie from that. You know, I want a concept like that to just automatically win me over, and then I watch some of these movies and I go like, they just didn't execute it very well. But it's a complex thing, and it's yeah.
And they could have gone like more in depth into that part of things. There's obviously things you can, you know, add to the movie, make it that much a little better, but it's also a bit of a thriller to it, and different shit's going on, and a mental fuck around, and it's a movie worth watching, and I think it's enjoyable enough to go through.
Show me Squarehead.
He's Sam Neill, old Squarehead.
Yeah.
His it's a little bit more
isn't
circular.
Isn't he like a host of a fucking game show or something like that?
He looks like he should.
He looks like it. I don't know if it is or not. I don't really care. See. I don't need you to look it up. I don't care.
We're looking it up. It's going to be something in the 70s for sure.
Yeah.
And the last two things of this week, for H1Z1, I've been really kind of fucking getting into watching those streams, and there was actually a worldwide showdown that's actually going on still currently for this week for each of the five servers from different continents that they're on. And it's just fun to fucking watch, like, the top pros play the fucking game. It's been fun to
watch. What game do you think is better, that or the Battlegrounds game or whatever that one is?
I think Battlegrounds has...
If I was to buy one right now.
If you were to buy one right now.
Cold hard cash.
You want to be a faster gameplay or a more in-depth, more realistic?
I don't know, man. I don't know what I want. Exactly. I just need you to tell me things.
I think they're both good. H1Z1's a lot faster paced, and it goes through it more, while Unknown Battlegrounds is a little more realistic for how you go about getting shit and how things work. So they're both good, but they have different touches.
I'll take realism.
Okay, go Player Unknown Battlegrounds. It's more realistic graphics and not graphics, but gameplay and how you go about surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Both good though. Both enjoyable to watch. The other thing is, last night after watching that stream, I watched Tiger Rider again. He had early access to Friday the 13th, the game.
Ooh, that's a game coming out.
You guys didn't know that?
No, I have my memory of the Nintendo game, and I just
can't play Michael Myers and Freddy, And it's the game looks pretty fucking awesome. Watching the early access gameplay, there is that touch of it could be a little bit not in depth enough, a Titanfall situation to it. Star Wars Battlefield, what's that called?
Battlefront.
Where it might not, it looks like it's really a lot of fun and a lot of gameplay to play to it and a lot of fun to it, but it might not be as in depth. However, saying that, right now you can only play as Michael Myers and play at fucking Camp Crystal Lake. So they're like, I kept watching the same map over and over again. So I don't know how many more maps are going to be, how many other characters are going to be to play against. But starting off, it's like an 8-person game. One of you randomly gets spawned in as the fucking bad guy. The other one is trying to survive and escape. And the game overall, it looked like it ran smoothly. It was definitely creepy. It has like the horror music playing the whole time as you're going through shit, and it gets obviously more intense as it gets closer to you. It looked pretty cool. I'd say check out a Twitch stream of it. See if you have
Is Friday the 13th, is that the movie with the black guys that are all like super funny and stoners, or is that the one where the mother and daughter switch places? Which one is that? I don't remember.
It took me a second, but I got it.
Thank God.
I got it, and I appreciate it.
But don't do it again.
But it's more of like an internal laugh, you know? It's kind of like the Big Orange Head joke. You just kind of like, damn it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't joking. Anyways, yeah, if it's the same similar game or whatever, is it going to be on Xbox One and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to laugh about that like later.
I'm surprised. If you guys haven't seen this game, look up the gameplay trailers and the information about it, because it looks pretty fucking sweet. As a bad guy, like certain times, Freddy, you're able to like set traps. And one of the things, you know, in movies, like, you know, they pop out of fucking nowhere. Like, you thought you ran away from someone, suddenly they're in front of you. Well, they have those abilities in the game. Like, they're like, you know, it's a loaded ability where you get to waste amount of time between uses, but you're able to like track them through like a blurred vision from it with kind of heat tracking, and they're able to like, and when it goes, like, remember like an old school VHS tape where we kind of like scratch in the screen, we kind of go all fuzzy.
Yeah, tracking.
So like when they're fucking doing that move, when they're jumping across the map or phasing somewhere else, when it fucking goes VHS style on you. And it's like,
sweet.
All of a sudden, it just scares you that much more. And it's like, oh fuck! And then, is he gonna jump up right behind me and fucking grab me by the throat and chop my head off? Like, it's
hope so.
It looks pretty fun. Nice. Pretty sweet. Check it out.
So it. I got one little bit of video game news. Bad news. Not good news. Red Dead Redemption is postponed until next year.
Yep.
It's pretty fucked. That's like one of the best games I've ever played. I'm pretty sad about that.
Boo earns.
But I mean, it's one of those. We believe that we want to put up the game when it's ready, and so we're going to, you know, yeah, of course, that's a given, but still, it isn't fun no matter what.
I'm pretty sure Red Dead Redemption and Undead Nightmare are currently on sale in the Xbox Marketplace right now.
Delicious.
Yeah, they were having a backwards compatibility sale for all 360 games.
Every
game.
Before they were.
I understand that, but it was every game?
No,
I looked through the list, and I don't think it was the whole list.
Okay, well, I thought it was all the ones that were backwards compatible. It was a pretty comprehensive list. Now they have a, like, some sort of Xbox, pay $10 a month and you get to play, like, these games off this list. And, you know, it's like half of them are shitty 360 games.
Yeah, it's like what PlayStation does. It's what PlayStation does with their fucking PlayStation Plus. So, give you access to some old shitty games that you wouldn't want to play anyways, but hey, here's a bonus.
Yeah, you know?
But they're going like, Xbox, you pay $10
like,
a month.
Games like the games that are coming out this month for Xbox One for free on gold are like currently still $20 and $15 a piece. I forget what the titles are right now, but they're both AAA games that are coming out for free.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was able to buy the original Gears of War, Battle Block Theater, Trials HD, and then I believe there was like one other one, because they were just like fucking $3, and I'm like, yeah, sure.
So
can
I
you
just
still throw like your old disc in the Xbox One and play it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, that's why I haven't bought a bunch of the things. I'm like, oh, I fucking want to play that game. Like, I can get off my shelf right now and go play it.
Yeah.
But I want to be on the Xbox One still, so.
I just beat Gears of War 1 actually with Joe Goodman. I didn't play the whole thing, but I played like, you know, just the ending-ish part, you know what I mean? And it holds up. It's fine. Fine. I enjoyed myself. Like,
the fucking campaign doesn't even feel old. Really fucking good.
And the graphics like hold up even, which is really hard to say about most games, but this one just has its own uniqueness to it, and it all felt tight, and I was enjoying myself. It felt great.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I definitely want to play this game again.
It always feels good when it's tight.
It always does feel good when it's tight. That is a true statement.
Tight like Toyga.
So, we have a couple magic topics to talk about. We're going to keep it short this week. One, which is very speculatory, which we can get out of the way very quickly. Crow had sent us a little screenshot of a webpage, an announcement, some talkings of a Magic-based MMO game. And it was very vague and kind of harkened back to when the head, well, you know, they hired that guy from Microsoft or whatever. I don't fucking know
Bill Gates.
Name. Yeah, they hired Bill Gates.
William Gates.
Yeah. Mr. Gates, if you're nasty. But they hired that guy, and he said, hey, do you ever want to fucking, like, you know, cast a fireball in a MMO game?
Direct quote, that's part of the reason why they're speculating from this situation for MMORPG is, back in January, Wizards of the Coast president Chris Cox wondered aloud, what it would be like to throw fireballs as a planeswalkers in an MMO. So it's just kind of like his hint of, like, out there, like, oh, how cool would that be? Or is he saying something? Is he not?
And he's known for working in Microsoft with digital games, so that's kind of like more of a push, like, are they going to start making other games with the Magic IP, or what's going on?
He wasn't, because the reason you say that is he was also involved with Wizards when they adapted the world of D&D into MMO with Neverwinter.
Yes,
he's part
yes.
of that team. Something else too, I believe. Can't see it.
So Neverwinter is a free-to-play MMORPG on the Xbox. I don't know if it's on PlayStation. It's also on the computer. And for a free-to-play MMORPG, it was pretty good. I talked about it for a while you I was did, playing yeah. it on the cast.
Yeah, some definite quandaries with it too. But.
Yeah, there were some gripes, but I mean, it held my interest for a little while. And I think if they can pull that same thing off for Magic, like I just texted him back and said, I will be all over this. Yeah. Just like, if they can do that for Magic, I will just, like, day one be all about it and just keep up with it. Because, like, Neverwinter came out with a bunch of expansions. It's like,
yeah, you kept talking about the game, stuff. And I kept almost, like, probably 50 different times I almost played the game. I almost downloaded it, almost played it. But then just your gripes about it were just too hearkening to things that pissed me off about games that right. I just was like, you know, I don't want to get into this. I'm just going to get angry about it.
Yeah.
So he also worked on Star Trek Online, which is another MMORPG,
which I heard that was good. I haven't played it. I heard from people it was good.
So yes.
So yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
Oh, the other reason this rumor came up right now, that this whole topic came up, was rumors began when Cryptic, which is Cryptic Studios, who worked on those things, which is where Chris Cox is from, posted a job opening for an art director to begin work on an unannounced project based on an extremely exciting, well-known fantasy IP. So that's where this started with, and then it harkens back to his comment about how cool it would be to shoot fireballs as a planeswalker.
And this is all, like, tubular.
Oh, good comeback.
Yeah, thank you.
Way to reel it back in, man. I'm impressed, dad jokes.
So this is just speculate wildly, but if there's hope for something, and it's like, I'd rather they fuck up the Magic movie than, like, fuck up the MMORPG.
Agreed.
Like, if you can nail the fucking game, like,
still want them to make a decent movie. It's, you know, 2012 when they fucking Hasbro, whoever took the contract over for it, and it's just, I looked up into it again recently because I was wondering how long it's been. It's been like 2012.
I feel like it's just going to be like a Mortal Kombat sort of thing.
Well, if it's an old school style, I love the original Mortal Kombat movie because it was just fun.
Yeah,
it was horrible, but it was a kitschy awesomeness, like an old school Power Rangers movie. It's like if that's what they do, then okay, I can enjoy that. If they try to be like a serious thing, I know obviously it'd be better if they make a legitimate movie.
Yeah,
but if they try to do a serious thing where they try to do like how
well the World game's Warcraft pretty made serious movie, though too.
Well,
like Magic the Gathering is a pretty serious game.
But I mean, like, if they try to make it a legit movie, like quality actors, quality money into it, and then do a horrible storyline and it fails, that would just be shitty.
I'm not sure they're going to have the money to do a lot of other stuff, but we can hope that the script is going to be well done no matter how much money they have. I just don't think they're going to be name actors and all the other fun stuff that we
hope for.
It doesn't
have to be name actors overall as long as it's, you know, they do a good job. They don't fucking do an Anakin Skywalker to it. I mean, there's plenty of young actors who have another shot.
What if they cast him as Jace? Oh my. I would.
He does not
drive
no way.
To fucking Watsy and burn their fucking house down.
Allegedly.
That is not a threat.
You know what? Kevin Metal once threatened to, like, rape somebody from Watsy.
Steve?
So.
Was it Steve?
No, it wasn't Steve. It was, like, actual, like, Morrow or somebody. Yeah, it was Worth Morrow, somebody like that. So I'm not saying I'm Kevin Metal, but I can threaten to burn their house down.
Okay.
Make sure they're not home.
You know, kill a president too, or what?
I think we're going to be on the mothership.
Not in a good way.
Fucking A. So other news, though, they have the HasCon, right? Coming that fucking... September. The festival or whatever that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't they pull out of some other fucking con?
They're supposed to be at E3, I thought, or something like that.
And they pulled out, right?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I'm good at pulling out, too.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they announced, like, the ticket prices or whatever. So they had, like, $160 or something like that for a 3-day pass or whatever.
I think it's $120.
$120. I heard $164, no big deal. Anyways,
No.
It's supposed to be, and then it was supposed to be $600 for a VIP Magic Pass. And that sounds ridiculous, and I don't really care what that is. So, yeah, $642.50. And, it was supposed to include, though, some promo cards, and they're going to be crossover cards with other HasCon product. So what? People were joking about, like, there'd be, like, a Nerf-branded equipment, you know what I mean, artifact equipment, or something like that.
Fun,
so there
could be, a Milo, I don't want yeah, their card to be $300 a
get,
though.
They're not going to be playable. Like, they're not, you know.
That, but that's fine. But
My Little Pony,
cards.
Planeswalker.
Right, sure, like that. Well,
someone
will come, My Little
Planes. Will come so hard in jars.
They had My Jesus Little Planeswalker Christ. As, like, another one, you know, and... There's a lot of, like, good ideas about that, you know, having, like, a Transformer...
Flip card?
Gear Hulks.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that, all that stuff's really cool, but, like, we don't know what the fuck it's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's what I heard, though, is that they're going to have some promos
for is that. Because I didn't actually see the information of why it was so much more money. Is that it? Just the promo cards?
Oh, no. You get VIP access to a charging station with free water.
So, like, the same thing as the GP. Like, the overpriced shit of nothingness. Like, oh.
Pretty much.
You get a sleep-in special.
If you show up at 9 a.m., for an hour, they have free, like, bagels and crackers and shit. But then if you go there, like, 10
Just
or
go
1,
to your hotel room. Yeah. They have free shit in the lobby.
Yeah.
It's all stale and shit up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, totally overpriced, but, you know, some fanboy will take advantage of it.
I mean, if I lived back there, I'd do the $120 one if I could afford it. I mean, because that'd be cool to fucking go there and be there for the actual drafting of the Iconic Masters and see which cards are actually there and get to draft them. Like, that'd be fun.
And then get to fucking call Sauce and be like, fucking buy all these cards, sell all these
dick.
Cards.
That would be amazing.
I would tell them all the wrong ones. Fuck you getting the original dual land first, like a dick.
I accept. I wouldn't take your advice anyways, let's be honest.
Well, that's smart of you.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't know if there's any other Magic news besides the spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers, and we also have the... You know, we kind of went over quickly the actual bannings for 1v1 Commander.
Nobody gives a fuck about those. Okay. They ban.
It doesn't affect you at home. Even if it does affect you, it's casual format. You're at home. You fucking ban and unban whatever cards you want to, you know?
It really doesn't matter. For MTGO.
You want to fuck... I'm just saying, like, in general, 1v1 Commander. If you were playing... I know it's on MTGO, but I mean, like... I would look into those rules for if we were playing one-on-one here or build a one-on-one specific decks, you know what I mean? So
If you know what, just don't. Just stop.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
So moving on to, we had some leaks, not spoilers. These are leaks. They shouldn't have been out. They got out, and apparently Turn 1 Thoughtseize, the podcast, is responsible for finding them.
I don't know. I saw
their name. Like,
so they're the ones that are going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Yeah. They have their stamp across the card on the pictures.
Yeah. So usually, like, people get in trouble when they
That's just
fucking
stupid.
Leak
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Why would you ever make it so easy to fucking find out you did it?
It would be funny if, like, somebody didn't like their podcast.
Just
like,
put their name on it.
Yeah, let's put their fucking name on there. That would be odd. That's what I thought of, because I was like, who's dumb enough to fucking do that?
But a bunch of fucking people have done that before. Like, they post on their personal account, like, hey, I have a spoiler. Like, you're a fucking moron. You didn't even do it anonymously on Reddit. You're like, hey, come get me and sue me.
Yeah, now they're going to fucking backtrack how you found it. And that poor fucking guy at the printing shop who was just trying to get money for his daughter's braces is going to be fired.
Well, if it's not money for cancer pills or something like that, you know, at least dick pills, I don't know. Not braces.
Maybe he's just trying to buy some Coke, dude. I'm like, fuck, leave him alone.
All right, so...
all right, I'm taking over. Here we go.
Take it.
Let's start with something pretty fun. The Ur-Dragon. Like, literally, not just, like, Scion of the Ur-Dragon or whatever other crap there is. It's just like, nope, I am the Ur-Dragon. Is 9 mana, 4 generic, and Wooburg, you know, the colors. Legendary creature, dragon avatar. Then there's this fucking new goddamn, what do you want to call it, mechanic or whatever, called Eminence. As long as the Ur-Dragon is in the command zone or on the battlefield, other dragon spells you cast cost 1 generic less to cast. As flying, it's a 10-10, and the additional text is, whenever one or more dragons you control attack, draw that many cards, then you may put a permanent card from your hand onto the battlefield. So, obviously, this card is fucking extremely powerful. But there, of course, are issues, because there's a lot of cards that cost a lot of mana that are fucking way, way powerful.
10 mana and Wooburg in it, like, that's...
9 mana.
Excuse me. 10. My bad.
That's one whole mana. 10, 9 mana. I do like that Eminence happens when it's in the command zone, though, so, like, on your way up, you get to just have a bonus, even if your commander's gone. That's pretty dope. And then, obviously, like, drawing cards whenever you attack, like... And you get a permanent, put a permanent card onto the battlefield, like... during the attack step, you know what I mean? That's pretty dope. Rather than having, like, if it dealt combat damage, then you get to do something afterwards. This could, like, yeah, I can swing in because I have, you know, whatever card in my hand to prevent yada, 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 or double strike it, or whatever else. So, yeah. The card's super powerful. You guys have any thoughts about it?
I mean, I read it, and I was just like, Jesus. Wow, that's a lot of things on one card.
It's very powerful. Again, it's just getting that mana, though. That's going to be a tough thing to be able to cast it.
Violently. Yeah. So now we did learn, though, that one of the decks, it seems like, you know, obviously the speculation, that this is going to be a dragon set for this one. One of the four decks is dragons. And it's five colors. So they're just going all out. So I'm wondering if that just means that, like, every deck is just going to be five colors, basically. They're just going to go all out. And five colors is going to be the thing. So that all... tribes can just go ahead and branch out.
I wouldn't be surprised they did that because of the fact that most tribes have creatures in every color.
Yeah.
Whether it be certain colors have very little of those creatures, still most tribes have a creature in every color.
Yeah.
I want the third one. So, Knight, can we hit the second one? Why don't you say the name, too?
Dude, I can't even pronounce. So, I was thinking. I saw this and I was like.
Is that a different language?
Trying really hard to pronounce it and then. After I was like, man, I hope I don't have to say this on the podcast.
But you know why I'm asking to make you fucking call you out on it.
Oh, Kagachi Vengeful Kami?
Aren't you the one who watches the most anime Kagachi here?
Kagachi Vengeful Kami.
Shouldn't you have like a leg up? Yeah, there you go. Just say like that. Kagachi.
It probably looks right. Like that's what he's screaming in the picture.
Oh, Kagachi! That's how you power him up.
Yeah, that's
like an unset.
It says
unset, yeah. The more you yell, the more powerful it gets.
As an additional way to cast this creature.
So it's one in Wooburg, legendary creature, dragon spirit, flying trample. When Okagachi deals combat damage to a player, if that player attacked you during his or her last turn, exile target non-land permanent that player controls. And it's a 6/6.
I mean, that's insane as well.
So, okay.
But... you know.
So here's a little theory.
Not as a commander, as a good 99 card. That's a pretty fucking badass 99 card.
Here is a theory I have. That the commanders are going to be dragon somethings.
That's, I would make the same point.
And then the rest of the deck is going to be that extra something.
Oh, okay. I wasn't going that far.
So like each one of these could be the commander, but the rest of the deck is avatar. And then for Okagachi, the rest is going to be spirits. And then this last one,
theory is the Ur Dragon, the first one talked about, it only gets those extra draw card bonuses from dragons. So if they make a new card like this, give it a commander leader, and then not put dragons in the set, that would be fucked up.
Well, they could just put more dragon avatars, you know what I mean?
Okay, then that's a point. But I think what you're saying is spicy and it's interesting. I don't think it's going to go that way. What I hope they don't do is actually like split up a tribe that they're putting for a commander and make it like two tribes. I think it's really cool. I mean, I was going to point up too that each one of these three dragons we're talking about right now, the first one's a dragon avatar, second one's a dragon spirit, and the third one is a cat dragon. That's what I'm going to talk about. I think it's pretty cool that they each have two actual tribal creature types to them.
Personally, I think these are all from the same deck.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a dragon deck. Yeah, I just think that the part that it's cat and spirit and whatever else, I think it's irrelevant. I think it's just these are what the cards
I think it's more like, yeah, those are what those are, but I feel like they did that so that if you wanted to build a tribal deck around that they get the bonuses from other tribal things getting from it, like that just adds a little bonus. Like, hey, this is also a cat. This is also a spirit. Now you can play a spirit deck that has a spirit dragon. I think that's more what's going to happen with it, more than they're going to like say, well, this is, here's your dragon leader that gives you all different spirits now instead.
So, by the way, the first two cards we're talking about are both mythics, and this third one's a rare. So the power level is like very good, and it's cool, but it's not as good as the other two. But anyways, take it away.
So the third one, Wasatori Nakuru Queen, for two, a black, that's green, and a good. Red. I was actually pretty impressed myself. It's a 5/4 flying trampler cat dragon. Whenever Wasatori Nakuru Queen deals combat damage to a player, that player sacrifices a creature. If that player can't, you create a 3/3 black, red, green cat dragon creature token with flying. I'm just stoked for this card because you get to fucking play a cat dragon tribal deck. That sounds hilarious and awesome.
And the fucking token
I was going to say.
Super cute.
I was wondering if you guys saw that too. There's a token out there, spoiled for as well. It's like this baby cat dragon that looks like a...
It's got big old eyes.
It looks like fucking, what's his name? Like One Eye or whatever from that How to Train Your Dragon movie. I forget the fuck his name is. But it looks like a little version of that guy as a cat dragon. And then a little fucking token.
It's so cute. It's adorable. It's a cute little guy.
It's adorable.
And so to continue with the dragon theme, we have Ramos, Dragon Engine. Legendary artifact creature dragon, flying, 4/4 for 6 generic mana. Whenever you cast a spell, put a 1/1 counter on this dude for each of that spell's colors.
You cast a Simic, you put 2 counters on it.
Exactly. Remove 5 +1/+1 counters from this dude and add double Wooburg to your mana pool. Activate this ability only once each turn. Double Wooburg.
I like that.
That is pretty fucking hefty.
You ready for this? Door to Nothingness.
Yeah.
I should have bought those.
That's good.
I'm just saying. There's your 2-card combo, baby.
I think this is the most exciting of all of these 4 dragons that are spoiled. I think this one has the most potential, I feel like. I think that just casting, which should be a decent amount of 5, you know, different colored spells, Wooburg spells, in this deck, and then you just get to automatically add 10 mana, so, like, out on the spot. You know, you'll add 5 counters, then you'll go ahead and just fucking remove those, and then just add 10 more mana to just go off, you know what I mean? And 6 mana, just being generic, and having the mana rocks and all this shit, it's like turn 4 commander style right there. Maybe even turn 3.
Like, how is this guy just not your commander? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the other ones are awesome, but this guy just helps you fucking cast everything else you ever want.
Seems really fucking good. I mean, it really does. And also that it's, you know, once each turn, but you can still do it on your opponent's turn and just fucking get 10 mana again. I don't know. But, man, it's good. And it's, I guess, just the generic stuff of just making it with one spell a 9/9, you know, instead, and you're not even using it if you don't need the mana. You can just have it be a gigantic fucking dragon every time you cast a spell.
Yeah, a gigantic evasive commander damage,
and then you
motherfucker.
Just get to kill. You could, I mean, technically, you could just go off that turn, you know what I mean? And just fucking, because you still can add the counters. I know you can't make 10 more mana multiple times, but if you just kind of go off, you know, not storm-wise, but 3 or 4 spells that turn, you can get up to 21 and just kill their ass.
It's amazing.
You can remove the counters in response and then play a counter spell.
I get why Wasatora is probably the least exciting of the 4 that we're looking at right now. But I'd say, I mean, obviously, I get all your points about the artifact one. That thing is fucking stupid good. I just personally like the Wasatora Nakura Queen the best, personally, because, like, my favorite kind of removal is making you sacrifice a creature. If I'm controlling your board enough, you're down to, like, whatever things that are left. You're not sitting there with tokens. Like, I'm going to kill your whole rest of those guys off. And you're saying something important. Like, I just love the idea that I got to swing in with this guy, make you sack something. That's just exciting to me. I get why it's underpowered compared to the other ones. It is rare compared to being a mythic. But I enjoy that style
of
card.
I like exiling target non-land permanents. I like that.
Wasatori kind of goes in a prosh type of token sack outlet sort of deck.
And that's the type of deck that I would build. So this just seems like fun to me to play with. So, yeah. I mean.
Sauce, why don't you go ahead and take away this last one.
Taigam Ojutai Master.
Uh-oh, this is the Taigam.
2WB, 4 mana for a 3/4 human monk, obviously legendary creature. So I'm guessing, I'm actually going to go on a limb and just say monk as the tribal because of the text that's on here.
But we'll see. I think this is just from the same deck, from the dragon deck.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, unless they're going to have multiple dragon decks.
Look at the writing on the card. You'll change your mind. Read the card.
Just read it.
Oh, yeah. God damn it. I thought it was only the first two. Well, I'm going to stand by it. Okay. Stand by it.
He's going to back down from being an idiot.
Not backing down? Nope.
That's good. Idiots don't know when they're ignorant. It's good.
Instant sorceries and some other spell you control can't be countered
sorcery
by...
Sorcery and dragons!
You control can't be countered by spells or abilities. When you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand and this thing attacked this turn... that spell gains rebound. So that bottom part, though, like, you got to attack with a 3/4 with no evasion, nothing like that.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I play like 3 of those artifacts in my deck that can fucking give them unblockable and hexproof and that kind of shit. So
yeah, no, it's dope.
I like this card a lot.
But I'm more about interested in that top ability, just having it out and then you fucking nothing can be countered. I think that's pretty sweet. They're both great abilities, but I'm just like, you know, I don't know if it's going to work. I think it's just going to die.
I mean, it's just kind of like your current commander. What's his name?
Oh, Idris Maelstrom, whatever.
Yeah, you got to kind of give it some evasion, yeah, you know, otherwise, so you can get the benefit.
It is exactly like that, without the added bonus of shit not being able to get countered.
And the good thing about this, fuck, if you have no evasion, you just fucking attack in, it dies, and then you fucking get something with rebound. So, I mean, if it's like a Fumigate...
And it's only 4 mana, so, like, it's going to be easy to bring this thing back. It's not this high-costed 9 mana fucking Ur-Dragon. Like, it's a 4 mana fucking commander that is going to fucking give you value. I just... And you're going to play cards that are going to make it so you can't target it, make it unblockable, different things like that. I'm just... I think it's a very good, very solid card.
This is going to be a bitch commander for control decks. Don't look forward to that.
So, if you guys are going to build this deck, and you see these are the 5 options for legendary creatures for the deck, which one are you going to choose?
Wassatori for me. I get it's more underpowered, but again, I love that Sack Out kind of deck. So I build mine with attrition. I'm thinking you sack all kinds of other shit. I'm getting bonuses from things being sacked. All kinds of shit like that. Like that's what I would build around with it, personally.
Knife City Alchemist. Do you have an answer? 5 seconds on the clock.
I mean, I would probably just choose fucking Ramos.
Yeah?
Yeah, just... It seems fun and, like, some...
I heard like Stamos.
Yeah.
like Ramos. I didn't realize it was his name.
John
was Ramos.
Stamos.
Like, John Stamos.
I'd choose John Ramos. I'd choose the
handsome dragon. That's what I'm interested in.
Uncle Ramos.
I mean,
over
he goes
here.
All right like an engine. He just put more gas in and he keeps going.
Just seems like he can do some broken stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree.
I'm going to choose the Ur-Dragon for my dude. I like the bonus of just it sitting there in the command zone.
The other reason I'm also looking at Wassatori is because I've actually been wanting to build a black, red, green deck. And a couple of commanders I've looked at are like, there's some exciting things, but I just didn't want to go that route. I didn't really want to get into it. And this is more along the lines of something I was looking for. So I'm going to probably look at that card.
Hey, so we're 1-for-1.
What's that?
We said dragons is going to be one of them. So one of the tribes. So there we go.
It's true. And if we're being honest, I'd probably choose fucking Tygam and just build a white blue control deck. And
no, you can't do that because you don't like counters in commander, you fucking cunt. Fuck you. You can't have that card. It's like a dick.
I just
you
don't.
No, you can't have it.
Miserable.
You can't have it.
And then I just
it's banned for you.
I wouldn't put
house
like,
ban.
Ice Scrum Scepter and silence.
I would just
we can play it.
Not
you
even
can't.
Care about dragons. You know, put like 2 or 3 dragons and not even make it. It's more about instants and sorceries. So. Yeah, it looks fun. I can't wait for the rest of the fucking cards to come out because it's just, I get boners. Like, I've been really lately, I've had
big boners lately.
Yeah, well, I've had like, you know, softies lately. Like, you know, you get 75% there, but it's not standing on its own completely.
Popsicle stick, some medical tape.
It's like morning wood. It's like it's kind of there, but like,
morning wood is like
morning wood is like
so,
the hardest I've ever been in my life.
I agree.
Like,
yeah,
it
I don't
stop bullets.
I guess I was going along the lines like as soon as you pee, it just goes away.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's true. But I mean, like the hottest chick couldn't give me a boner as much as me just waking up in the morning. Like I wake up in the morning and same thing. I'm like, God damn, what are you doing right now?
Like I feel like the skin's gonna rip. That's how like it's just shaking like with anger. Just like,
you're being like so excited and you wake up with that hard on. You just kind of like start like dry humping the bed and like wake up.
Oh, I always absolutely.
Okay.
Of course I do.
I'm you know what? I've never talked about that with anybody else.
I was like I'm saying this right now. And I swear to God, I hope they say yes because I feel really awkward now as I'm saying it.
That I totally do that.
Why'd I buy a Tempur-Pedic? I mean. It conforms to your dick. It's like whatever dick size you have.
Does he have like the heating options on it too?
No, it has the cooling options. Oh, even better. I got enough heat for the fucking bed. Say it if you want to make a moldier dick, you know.
Does that have a flashlight? You cut a hole into the mattress and put it in there, and then just go to town when you wake up.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Last thing, what if you like tunneled out a little. Pringles can little thing whatever then you filled it up with what would you fill it up with
Jello
what would you fill it with Jello what? Okay
I don't
that
know
that was so easy for you to come up with I feel like you tried it
how about Pop Rocks
that would get too much on his dick sled dude that
yeah,
would
I
hurt.
Would yeah
how about salt and barbed wire
salt and barbed wire yeah what about just like melted like I can't believe it's not butter like you know it's like never gets hard it's always like it's soft consistency
like yeah it's melted though so it's like 1,000 degrees in there too you just burn your dick as you fuck
all
it.
Of it all of it
I'd put one of those things like that you buy at like Roller Skate Land with like an arcade with tickets, you know?
It's the one that infinitely rolls around. It's like a fucking.
I think it's gonna caught like the grinder.
What is that
the gears.
Fucking the. What's the thing that you use?
By the way,
it's like a fleshlight that like is for children.
I love your hand motion by the way. The whole time you're here jacking off.
How did I never try that as a kid?
Well, we all thought about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
What thing are you talking about? I'm trying to have an art to picture.
It's a fucking.
I mean, dude, it's like a little. It's a little like a. It looks like a sea urchin.
It looks like a pocket like pussy. Like,
oh, the plastic ones like have like a liquid inside.
Yeah, yeah. They have like this the sparkly bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. My son has one of those. I tried it.
And then you
have you tried it?
No, fuck no. Okay, that's my son's. But it wasn't my son's.
And then you squeeze it and like spurts out of your hand or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, there's actually YouTube videos you can like make your own fleshlights and like buy the whole thing.
I mean, if I'm gonna. I'm not gonna fucking. I'm just gonna buy top of the line, bro. I'm not like skimping pennies on that.
You're gonna like clean it out. You're just gonna like you know, just one time use it. It's just like fucking a rubber glove and a paper towel roll, and you like take shit out with the towel in there and rubber bands.
Dude, I'm not in prison, dude. Like,
if you ever go, now you know.
Sleeping next to a living woman.
You can't share all your dark fantasies with your lady, though.
But I'm. One of my fantasies isn't to fuck the fucking. The stuff under the sink, you know what I mean? Like, paper towel. And I'm imagining like that hard, yellow, fucking thick plastic what you wash the dishes with. Like
the gloves?
Yeah, the gloves. No. Like, yeah, like cleaning ladies. Yeah, that's what I imagine when he's talking about that.
Yeah.
It's fucking
very,
weird.
Very good.
Anyways,
that's weird, one quick like last it. Thing one before we're out here.
Ooh, yes.
We have our
Crow's,
promos.
Crow's Corner.
Crow's Corner, the promo chromo. Right? Homo, chromo, promo?
Yeah, something like that. Along those lines.
July through September. The promos are Reverse Engineering, good draw card spell, the Improvise. Renegade Rallier, which isn't seeing a whole lot of play, but still a solid card overall. And finally, a solid, good fucking FNM promo that everybody's going to be excited about. Pretty cool art. Fatal Push.
Yeah, it's excellent.
They did it. They did it. They're starting to listen to people's like gripes and wantings of better fucking cards. And
well, they did Aether Hub. Which is pretty
agreed,
good.
Agreed.
But yes,
I think
like
reverse
two.
Engineering obviously isn't as exciting as Fatal Push, but that's a solid card draw spell if you're playing any kind of artifacts. Improvise on that thing. You're gonna end up fucking paying two blue to draw three
but,
cards.
Okay, that
somebody was saying
the Rallier is played in Modern too, though. So that's
I think it's
really
Renegade Rallier is a good card. It's, I haven't seen it played a lot, but
somebody
it's a good
was saying
card.
That this is exactly what they need to do is for the FNM promo.
Well, we were saying that
2 months ago. Yeah.
No, but specifically put like the chase uncommons and commons. You know what I mean? Like those chase cards
rather
that,
than like doing rares to like you know. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like you don't have to do rares because then you know whatever value money.
They mostly
whatever.
Do uncommons, by the way.
Yeah. So just do like those chase uncommons and like fucking happy with that.
They did a license to disintegration, right? Also. I think alongside Aether Hub
yes.
and some well, other fucking
yes,
bullshit.
There's a problem with license.
Aether Hub kind of like took the spotlight.
Yeah, I'm saying that's
like,
I'm saying Alliance Disintegration is
a solid card.
Awesome
yeah.
card.
Yeah.
Like that card is, yeah, that makes it, it's part of like the deck, you know, like a Marty Vehicles deck. It's like, if that wasn't there, yeah, the deck would still exist, but like that's one of the pieces that makes it very powerful, you know?
Right.
So
Fatal Push, a lot of people are loving the artwork on the new promo. So if you haven't seen the promo for Fatal Push, go check it out. Myth Explorer has a card right there. It looks pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah, exciting news.
Bitchin'.
Super exciting.
End of chromo promo homo corner.
I got one last thing.
What's up?
I built a mechanized production blue white standard deck.
Same I don't even know what that card is. Yeah. I'm gonna have to.
So
let's
play it.
4-mana enchantment, double blue. On your upkeep, make a copy of targeted artifact that you enchanted. If you have 8 of said artifact at the beginning of your upkeep.
Nope, not said artifact. Any artifact.
No, of the same artifact.
If nope. you control
oh,
8
the same artifact,
or...
but it hasn't... Not the one enchanted.
No, not the one enchanted. Well, because it makes copies of it. So if you have 8 total clue tokens, you win the game.
Right.
Okay.
But
then
I could enchant
you,
anything.
Then if you control 8 or more artifacts with the same name as one another, you win the game.
Right.
But the whole point is to... Obviously, you're making copies of one so you can win the game.
Right. But I'm just... The whole point is that the text doesn't say that. Just for reasons or whatever. Like, say, like, I fucking attached to one thing or whatever, and then I didn't attach it to a clue, but then I started making clues later or whatever, just
right.
from like just from all my other spells in the deck, because that's what it's about, clues, you know?
Yeah.
I can still win that way without making copies of whatever the fuck.
Sexy.
Making copies of clues. Anyways.
I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Don't worry about it. We're
like,
past it. Who cares?
You're being
awkward. I know that it's not the plan. I'm saying that it's possible. I'm making sure people know that it's possible.
Just
I
in case.
I can make a bunch of clues without having one of them enchanted. I understand the point of it is to go ahead and use a duplicate
choose. You just have the eight at upkeep. So you can just copy it later.
The Good. Stack.
Good.
It's weird.
The stack. It's fucking crazy. anyways, it's really fun. That's all I got to say about it.
Sweet.
I'll play both you guys for sure a bunch with it.
It was surprisingly good.
Yeah,
it had its, it had its moments.
It's it's.
I will say when I play against you with Knife's deck, his zombie deck did not run well. Not particularly.
Oh, for sure. Well, I didn't run well, obviously, either, because we were sitting there with fucking no mana and shit like that.
But your deck was fun. It was.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play, and it's has problems because the main thing is that when I play against a really really competitive deck, they all have artifact hate, even main deck sometimes. So like, and because my win condition's artifacts, they kill whatever I attached mechanized production to. So that's the biggest problem. But as my backup finisher, which I actually win with as much as I win with the mechanized production thing, is the
Colossus.
The, Part the Water Veil.
Oh, okay.
So just making sure I don't use those at all for a long time. The game just goes on and on and on and on. And finally, I feel comfortable having like two in my hand. I make something a 6/6 attack for 6. Then I make it into a 12/12 with a second one attack for 12. Then I have another time to attack for 12. It's pretty fucking so I can attack for game as long as I set it up right by, you know, fumigating a bunch of times, and there's a spell that's like -4/-0 investigate, you know, and kind of slowing things down, and then finally when they are tapped out, or I can go ahead and there's another spell that I have that's a sorcery, but it's tap target creature doesn't untap, you know, whatever, and then I get to investigate. So that final thing is that they have one blocker. And then I'm like, no big deal. I fucking play that. I play Part the Water Veil. I play another one. I fucking win on the spot. So that happens turn 15.
Right.
Most of the game wins actually are turn 15 or something like that. But yeah. Otherwise, it's just if I'm playing against certain aggro decks and they, you know, go all out and I just kind of time it right for fumigates, back-to-back fumigates, something like that, they can't kill my clues. And I make I also have Anointed Procession in it. So it makes double clues, and that already, like, that wins the game, like, right away. So that, I only have two of, but when I play those, I'm like, this wins the game. Like, it's so fast to win the game by making double clues.
Nice.
And it allows you to, when you have odd numbers of clues, and you know that you need even to win, you can start stacking clues. It draws a shit ton of cards.
Right.
Like, in the early game, you don't try to get 8 clues, you just literally use them to fill your hand back up, whatever, and you have Improvise. That card, I have 4 Inspiring Sanctuaries that allow for all your spells to be have improvise, so that you're able to every time you
clues from
every
mana,
time you make a clue that
he's
makes
got
mana.
20 fucking
Dirty.
Mana boards, like fuck you.
Dirty.
So the plan of the deck is obviously what I said, but the plan to kill the deck is to kill Inspiring Sanctuary. That's the main way to kill the deck, because when you let the thing sit and I cast that counter spell that makes 3 clues. You know, which then makes 6 clues because of Anointed Procession. Now, I spent 5 mana, and then I gained fucking 6 mana and the potential for 6 cards. Like, it just...
That's pretty
so
fucking
So you just
gross.
Don't want it to go... You know, you want to make sure that
you don't
I'm
want
slowed
it to spread.
Down. If I get to, like, turn 8 and I actually still have stuff on the board, I'm probably going to win. But if you're able to, like, turn 4, kill my fucking Sanctuary, you know, if I play Mechanized Production or whatever, you kill that, then I can't win. But if you don't take care of those things, you're like, oh, I'm just gonna go drop shit full aggro plan. I'll beat him before he gets me. And it's like, no, dude. Of course I have answers for you. Like that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any creatures, bro. Like I just fucking do that shit all day long.
For your sideboard against them, you're gonna have to bring in that new artifact hate card for a red and X.
Yeah. I've already.
That'll rape him in the butthole. Like he'll be.
And I've had Biforce hit me a bunch of times, and that does fuck me up. But I always feel a little bit better because, like, when I play something and then they play that, that's their whole turn usually. And so we just kind of time walked each other.
Yeah.
And so I still have time to build up. But yes, late game, if they X3 me, I'm like, God fucking damn it. Come on, guys.
Yeah, that card, after I played the Standard League, I immediately looked for Artifact Hate, like, that was already on board. And Biforce is obviously the best answer to that. So.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's it for this week of If Lands Could Kill. All our information is in the show notes. Go ahead and give us a shout-out, a holler on Twitter. Upvote, like, subscribe on iTunes, all that good stuff. We're on Facebook.
Then go
onto
iTunes, leave us a fucking goddamn comment,
yeah,
review,
gay robot,
whatever.
We're talking right on this cast.
Fucking
give
gay robot.
Comment, gay robot.
Or slash and. Go to our website, iflandscouldkill.com, and then go to the podcast page, and there's a comment section down below, and that's what we talked about that one time, that one episode that had, like, the best podcast to get a blowjob.
Yeah.
While getting a blowjob. So, just drop us some fucking bullshit.
Some love.
Some emails.
Some hate.
We're not asking for money, so just talk to us.
We're so lonely.
This is Scott's Coffee Talk.
And that's it. I'm Live City.
So, Crow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I'll check you guys next time.
Bye, 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 bye. We're living so hard. You might not make it through tonight. Follow the bright lights. They might change.
lost along the way. It's all right. Too long.